Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there with a special in-studio guest.
Brian Martin is a retired police officer from here in Central Indy, and he reached out to me on social media and said, we need to have a conversation about the mental well-being, the mental health of first responders and police officers.
Yes.
And we're going to do that right now. Brian, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
So, Brian, why did you reach out to me?
Well, I have a career of 16 years in law enforcement, and it wasn't the way I wanted it to go necessarily. I wanted to retire with at 52 and
pension.
Yeah, with the pension and never have to worry about everything ever again. But you have to have a plan B, and I got 16 years.
So why did you decide to end your time as a police officer?
That came kind of unexpected, I guess, to start out. Back in 2010, I had a pretty bad incident. I won't go into the details of it, but it was damaged me to the core. I took one day off work and back to work on.
So you responded to a call or a situation, and you arrived on the scene, and it was something
very traumatic,
horrific.
Yes, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. Nobody should see that ever. And I took one day off work and back to work Sunday, completely damaged. And over the years, never went to see anybody about it. Never went to get medication, zero treatment. Try to use alcohol to cope with it for a while, which works.
It's temporary. Initially. It's a temporary fix.
Band-aid, but it's not the right answer.
Right.
And as your career keeps going on and on, every day you go to work, you get more events. Your cup continues to fill up. And, back in 2018, I had a really bad flashback. And I wasn't even working this day. I had a really bad flashback because I saw this news article of an incident that happened in Carmel. Threw me back into that first incident. Mm-hmm. And I got really suicidal, put a gun in my head, and wanted to end it.
So we hear about PTSD mainly when it comes to folks in the military, but with police officers and first responders, this is a very real thing as well.
Yeah, we see it every day. And it's part of the culture with same as veterans and in the military. We don't say anything. You know, we're too tough to say anything. We're afraid to say anything. I was afraid of being labeled as something, afraid of losing my job.
Were there protocols available? Were there things available at your department, at your disposal?
Early on, there wasn't a peer support team. We didn't have any resources. We can go out and probably try to find that, but I didn't know. I didn't have any of that training. I didn't know how to reach out to somebody to help myself.
Take us through your darkest moment. You mentioned you had a gun to your head. What went through your mind to lead you to that point? Did you think about your family? Did you think about your job? Or is this just something that was like a spur of the moment type of
deal?
And
then why did you put the gun down ultimately?
Yeah. As I was in my closet, ready to do that, I started thinking about all these, a whole bunch of different things. And I went back to an incident where dad had shot himself and his kids were the first ones in the room. Mm. And they did everything they could to try to save him. They couldn't do anything. Remember in that scene, those kids, the mom, and knowing that my kids would be in that closet looking for me right after school, finding me in that position, I couldn't do that to them. So I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. So I had to, I wanted to die so bad, but then I couldn't do that to them. So I had to figure out a way to make it work.
What was the first step in your road to recovery?
Yeah, the first step was actually telling my wife that I wanted to end it. Mm. We got in a big argument, and I told her, and I went to Costco, and then I had a therapist at that time. She called me. He's like, hey, we need to talk. So I was like, yeah, I did that, and then I walked myself into Community North.
We always hear about the importance of telling someone your story, finding someone to talk to. Did that help you? Once you decided to finally talk about it, did that feel like it helped?
It does help. Since 2018, when I came back to working on the road, I decided at that point that I was going to tell everybody everything, try to do at least once a day to somebody new. And I haven't missed a beat since. And part of my recovery came from a conversation with a stranger.
What was that conversation like?
So I was working at a body shop, and this guy came in and lived on the west side of Carmel. And I told my story, and he's like, "Brian, I want to pay for you to go do neurofeedback." I was like, "I don't know what neurofeedback is, but if my therapist says it's okay, I'll go do it." So this conversation led me to Gray Matters of Carmel and starting the neurofeedback brain training sessions. And it was rough for a little bit. It's like peeling back the onion. But as I followed the program and I got more time, more chair time, I got better and better to the point where now I hardly ever go. I don't have I'm on zero medications. I have zero PTSD symptoms. I hardly ever see my therapist. I only do my maintenance for Gray Matters, and I feel great.
So for those not familiar with this company, this group, Gray Matters, what exactly do they specialize in?
They specialize in anything that involves a brain. They can kind of help fix concussions, PTSD, depression, anxiety, ADHDs.
What did you learn about yourself from them?
That my brain was pretty damaged. Years of police work, and I had a concussion. My brain was going so fast, it just wasn't working correctly, and this corrected it. You can see that through a brain map.
You know, I'm sure there's police officers listening right now that have been through exactly what you're. What you went through and have walked into some grisly crime scenes. I couldn't imagine. You know, your first thoughts are with the victims and the families, but boy, there's first responders, there's guys in your position, police officers that have to look at some pretty awful things. And I couldn't imagine what that's like going through that. And there has to be a better way. There's got to be protocols within police departments to you know, facilitate your mental health and making sure that you're okay. And it just sounds like in this certain case, it didn't happen with you in the department.
It did and it didn't. The biggest thing is that it needs to be accepted that there are people, there are officers and first responders that are going to have things that go on. And it needs to be accepted that we need help, you know, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. I worried about losing my job, you know, and backlash.
That. Yeah.
You know, and it's not anything that I did on my own. I mean, this is all 100% job related. I had no control over it. And it resulted in all these things I had just talked about.
Do you still have bad days?
No.
Good.
No.
Good for you.
I mean, typical life stuff. You
right.
Know, married, kids, and
right.
That stuff will never go
Pacers
away.
Pacers get blown out on game one doesn't count as a bad day here, right?
No. And for instance, with the news today with the Indigo bus that was on fire, I heard it going across the news, Matt Baer talking about it this morning, that would have thrown me into a flashback years ago, just because your mind goes to fire, people, death, and that's everything that I relate to in my past.
And how's the relationship with your family?
It's a lot better. They understand, and that's a whole nother topic there. As I get better, they're still dealing with stuff. They dealt with me for years with my own depression, PTSD, and I have a lot of resources just because of the position I was in.
Sure.
But there isn't much for them. You know, there needs to be more for them.
So if somebody's listening right now, whether they're a first responder, maybe they work with an ambulance unit, or they're a police officer, or anybody that would be at a grisly type of scene, and they're going through some of the things you've talked about, or they just don't feel themselves, what advice do you have for them?
Talk to somebody. Talk to somebody that you trust, and be honest. That's the biggest thing. Be vulnerable. I mean, who wants to go on the radio show and tell, you know, tell everybody that what I just said. And it feels so much better when you do, and you'll get the help, you know, there's plenty of resources out there and I can be reached, you know, I'll help anybody that I can.
Brian, thank you so much, one, for reaching out to this show, and two, for being as open and honest as you are. I know this stuff can't be easy to talk about, but the fact that you just did it on the biggest radio station in the state, the most listened to radio station in Afternoon Drive, that means a great deal to a lot of people. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.